Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this September 28th, 2022. 10:07 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. End part two at 10:30. We're going to catch up with our friends at the ODC. Callie and Katie are going to join us. Looking forward to that. And been looking forward to this all week. We have in studio with us Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel. Good to have you here, Lance.
Hey, thanks, James. It's been a while.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We had several meetings out of town recently, or out of state, and I've had people fill in for me, so I always really look forward to coming in and having the conversation.
And I also want to send a big shout out and thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Taylor, always good to see you. Thank you for being here, guys. Lance, first up, how was your time over while you were away from us?
Well, you know, it's a busy time of year. Typically, when we get to the end of the third quarter, it's budget time. Mm-hmm. Those are budgets not only for our own county, but for counties associations. The state has their study committees moving forward as we start to look at what legislation will be after these elections coming up in November. Mm-hmm. And, you never know how those are going to turn out or what the impetus of the new government's going to be moving forward. But it's a busy time, a lot of conversations. As we try to move forward and craft what that policy or what we're going to do going forward. So it's an interesting time.
Any developments that have come up that we should let the audience know about? Anything interesting or anything that you think is noteworthy?
Well, there's a few things. Like I said, we have the budget in general, and I think in Wood County operationally, we're looking like we're in pretty good shape. We've had bonding. We've talked about it forever, kind of beating it to death on the new jail. That's moving forward. But operationally, we look like we're in pretty good shape. And that's without – there's been some rumors out there that – you've heard me say on this show that we're going to use ARPA money, the Recovery Act money, for legacy-type projects, that people can look back 20 years from now and say, hey, we really did something with that. And there's been some rumors going around that, we're using that to plug budget holes. And that is absolutely untrue. There's not a single dollar. I had a local municipal leader – questioned that the other day, and he said, well, there's a rumor around. I said, well, we haven't spent a dollar of that on any of those types of projects. There's some bike trail that are being finished up at Powers Bluff, some of the off, mountain bike type trails, some connecting roads. We're looking at those type of projects, economic development, child care, some of those things going forward. But just to dispel any rumors, those monies have not been spent to plug operational issues. We've dealt with those pretty well. On the opioid front, that's been a big one. Wisconsin led the way on the national opioid settlement, and there's kind of three parts of that. There's the manufacturers, the distributors, and the retailers. And a third of that settlement is basically done with the manufacturers, who said, we did nothing wrong. We did absolutely nothing wrong. But we're willing to give you $26 billion to kind of offset that problem. And Wisconsin led the charge on the settlement there. So we have a fair amount of money coming into our county every year now to work on education, prevention, treatment, and then rehabilitation. And that's the two, and I think we've already received $65,000 on that. And we're working with our health department. I know you've had Sue Smith in here, formerly Sue Kunferman, for those who aren't aware Sue was married this last year. She's been at the forefront of this, and that money's going to help. So, that's another project. And the solar project is going to be up and running here in the next couple of weeks.
And I'm looking forward to talking to you about that. I was really gearing up about that over the weekend. But I'm so glad you mentioned this about the opioids and that. And that's certainly an issue, and it still is an issue. And it's great to hear that there is some, some cavalry coming to help with that, especially when you consider that while that is being dealt with and we're starting to maybe get a little bit of a grip on that, you've got the fentanyl situation. Like, it just never seems to end. There's always going to be something next coming up. So to be able to take care of that, especially considering whatever is coming forward, coming in the future, is even more necessary, more dire. That education end of things, that money is going to be well spent.
It's huge. And I'm not here to cast blame, but, we got a tremendous amount of fentanyl coming across the border. We're going to lose more lives this year due to fentanyl than we did in the entire Vietnam War. Now, I don't put that in perspective for everybody out there. Listen, more than we did there. In 5 years, we're going to lose more people than we lost in all of World War II. It's phenomenal. And the vast majority of that comes across the border. And we certainly have to stop that. As we look at the opioid settlement and how we can expend that money, and most of the people that are opioid abusers are other drug abusers as well. And I'm not sure how you exactly separate that, but one of the things that I was able to do is put together called a blue ribbon panel, a task force through the Wisconsin Counties Association. I appointed 14 people to that board. Sue Smith from our county is one of those people. And they're going to look at how we best spend that money to help in, prevention is probably more important than treatment. You'd like to tell kids out there, especially with the fentanyl one, you end up exposed, you know, you try this, you can be dead tomorrow.
Right.
It isn't like I get another chance. And so, you know, this is at the forefront of what we're doing.
I agree with the majority of what you said there, Lance, as usual. But I will say that I think that they are both equally important, the education part and the helping people that have it. This is one subject where I will talk. It is my wheelhouse. I grew up with addiction. I grew up with a heroin addict for the majority of my life. I understand addiction better than most do. And I can tell you that the shaming or not worrying about people that have it, you're only going to create more users. You got to take care of that just as much as you got to take care of preventing future users. It's a two-pronged attack. If you don't do it both ways, you're going to never fix the situation.
Well, and I don't disagree with that. In fact, you know, I think I said originally, I think it's a three-prong attack. You know, we have the prevention, we have the treatment, and then we have the rehabilitation.
Right.
And, you know, we have a Wood County Adult Drug Treatment Court that deals with a number of these people who are caught in that never-ending cycle.
Yeah.
You know, part of the thought process in building the new jail was to have better education, classroom time available, places that we can end that, you know, never-ending revolving door of people, you know, into the jail, because most of those have a drug issue as well, you know, of one type or another. So, yeah, you're spot on. It's not a single... there's not a single silver bullet that solves the problem.
Yeah, and it's something that Sheriff Becker and I have talked about quite a bit, too, that revolving door, how you stop that. And so much of that we've found have come down to mental health and dealing with that. And we've talked about that with him plenty and everything. I'm sure we'll talk about it more in the future. There's a lot to uncover there. But again, Calvary is coming to help a bit with these funds. And that is certainly noteworthy. That is great. I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah, this will offset some of the problems we've had. And that's a third... That $26 billion that was put up by the manufacturers is about a third of what we expect in total settlements eventually. You've still got the distributors out there, and you've still got the retailers, and there's litigation pending on those. So at some point, we probably end there. You know, and that's where a lot of it started, and then street drugs become more affordable because, you know, some of the prescribed narcotics can be $50 to $100 a pill. It switches to, you know, anything you can buy on the street, and it becomes a burgeoning problem. It not only stresses our police departments, our corrections, but human services, our health departments,
right,
and everybody else. And so, wide effect, and it's something that we need to get in front of.
Something that you and I have talked about a number of times, and really in the beginning stages of it, now we're at this stage with the solar project. And actually, I have a ribbon cutting going on today and that, and a lot of fun things going on there. Can we dive into that, and especially to those who may not know much about it? Because it's surprising to me, talking to some people this weekend, that were a little taken back by this. Like, well, it's been being talked about. It's not like this has been in the sand or something like that. But sometimes people just aren't paying attention, or maybe something slips through the cracks or whatever.
Yeah, this particular project in Saratoga, the one that is now built, is a 150 megawatt project. That supplies electricity to about 30,000 homes, give or take. It's a massive project. And there's a number of others on the drawing board. In fact, there's another one in Saratoga that I believe is before the PSC right now. There's a proposal for a very large solar farm over in Portage County. And there's others actually being bantied about in Wood County. And, you know, the interesting part, it adds another way to provide energy to the entire grid. Now, it's interesting because, like you said, you know, I get people kind of both sides. It's renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
By the same token, it takes 360 times as much land as it does to build a nuclear plant. So I'm not saying you should be all of one or all of the other, but it takes three. Just to give you an example how big these projects are. If you haven't driven by, you should, because we are moving to solar. We're moving to wind. It takes 3 million solar panels to produce a gigawatt of power, which is what a nuclear plant does. So I'm not a nuclear necessarily. I'm not pushing that. I'm not pushing solar. I'm not pushing wind. I think you need all three of them.
Right.
But, there are different ways of doing business. So we do have the ribbon cutting down there. This will be this was something from a siting standpoint that went where what most of you have seen is the CAFO, the Concentrated Animal Feeding Operation, the large farm that was a Wysocki project originally proposed. It's down in that area. You should go down and take a look at how expansive this project actually is.
Yeah.
And, you know, that'll be feeding into the grid. I think there's right now, 12 projects underway, you know, right now in this area. And this is one that's going to come online. Does it actually come online today, tomorrow, October 1st? It's in the next couple of weeks. I don't know an exact date, but we're there. It also provides a revenue stream to both the municipality and the county. So, you know, that will offset some of the other expenses that we deal with.
And really, this is one of those things, and I'm using this from what I've read and from what I have friends who have been in situations like this in their towns. This is something that when this is up and running, you're not going to probably notice much of a difference in your own home. It's about more the impact that it has on the things that Lance was saying there, and just the fact of needing other resources for energy. I don't know about other people, but for me, I'm the kind of person, I don't ever have just a plan A. I got a plan B, C, D, E, F. I don't like being taken off guard. I'm not kidding. I have a lot lined up there. I would like to think that we should treat our cities, our counties that way. It's not good enough to me that we have this energy source. What happens if that source ain't there? Yeah. I want other ones. I want multiple ones. I want to know that my people are taken care of.
Yeah, if you plug in, you know, you plug your appliance in at home, you're not going to notice any difference.
No,
the power goes into the grid. And everything's a trade-off. I mean, you know, you go way back and, you know, some of Three Mile Island, some of those, you see what in the past, and that's old technology, but you saw some of the consequences of nuclear power. You look at the land use, you know, for solar and wind, though. I mean, when you're talking 360 times as much land used, when you're talking, there's a negative impact to all that mining, too, to get the materials to build the solar panels. So nothing's, there's not a single source.
Yeah.
There's not a silver bullet. I think we have to access and use all of those opportunities that we have. So if something happens, we have alternative power. And I think all you have to do right now is, you know, turn on your TV, look at the Weather Channel, and look what Florida's facing right now. And I don't know what part of the, you know, if the grid goes down, that's different because it feeds into it. But,
right.
I mean, if you had to shut down a nuclear reactor and that was the only source of power you had, you got a problem.
Yeah.
If you have solar panels and something happens, whatever, you know, ceases to produce the power, whether it be, I'm being a little ridiculous to make a point, but you know, if you have a volcano go off and you have less sun coming through the atmosphere to the solar panels you're producing, unless you better have something else that can provide that.
Look,
so yeah, it's interesting.
It's 2022. The volcano thing ain't that far fetched.
No.
Well, it's possible now.
I mean, when you look at, you know, global temperatures, anytime you have an eruption like that somewhere in the world, it does impact the amount of sunlight that gets down to the surface of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not trying to be ridiculous, or if you have something happen at that location. So that, you know, multifaceted approach to providing energy is extremely important. And in today's world, energy drives everything.
The feedback that you've gotten on this subject, I imagine it's you know, all across the board. But are there any questions that have come up more than others that maybe we can address?
You know, surprisingly, as we move to, you know, green energy,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's been the direction that Alliant and some of the other big, you know, providers have moved. You know, the single biggest pushback I get when I'm in meetings, whether it be with stakeholders, with landowners, is the amount of land that's being used.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, highly productive farmland. The proposed project in Portage County right now is somewhere, I'm using round numbers, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 acres.
Okay.
10,000 acres provides a lot of food. If you don't have the ability to produce food on that land, then the price of food goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just like oil right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't have a lot of ways to provide that, you know, natural gas or oil, I mean, hang on tight till you see your heating bill this winter.
Mm-hmm.
If I look across the street, you're looking right at it. I'm looking at you.
Oh, yeah.
But you're what, $4.09 a gallon behind me? It was what, $3.39, $3.49
like
a week
ago. 2 seconds
ago,
it feels
2 seconds
like.
Ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, energy drives the world. And whether it's, you know, put it in air quotes, you know, green energy, whether it's fossil fuels, I think as we get cleaner burning internal combustion engines, that certainly has to be a component.
Mm-hmm.
The green energy move has to be a component. So,
and one day maybe we'll get cold fusion figured out and all this will be, you know,
well,
no one even matter.
Point.
None of
the. Yeah, I mean, that would be, you know, one of the things, I don't think anybody's opposed to cleaner and better ways of doing things. But, you know, when you look at the economics and the possibility right now, for instance, with the existing infrastructure we have. I made a comment at a meeting the other day. I was down in Madison, and I said, you've basically, if I move totally to, let's say, electric vehicles,
mm-hmm.
I've basically taken anybody who lives Wisconsin Rapids and North and said, you can't go to a Brewers game because you don't have enough power in that vehicle, enough battery capacity to go to Milwaukee and back on a single charge. And if you think they're going to have 20,000 charging stations up in the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 10.
Right, they're not.
Mm. And so I think we have to be sensible as we approach this. There's certainly use for those metropolitan areas where you have short commutes. Probably not a problem at all.
No, we didn't go from the horse and buggy to the car overnight. It took time. There was a time in American history where there was roads that had horse and buggy on it while having like a Ford Model T on it and stuff. We're in the middle of this. We're in the middle of this transition. I mean, it's not going anywhere. You know it when you see a green Hummer. Like a Hummer that is run electronically and everything, you know it's not going anywhere. It's only going to go more and more that direction. We've seen budget-wise, as far as stations for powering up your vehicles and that, more being put into those things. But I completely think, I don't think you're alone on this. It's something that we've all got to kind of like work together on and take our time with, be patient with, because it's not going to happen overnight. And it's not something, we shouldn't want it to happen overnight. There's a huge industry of people. I'm not a huge fan of coal. I know people who their whole lives have been in the coal industry. I don't want to take their jobs. I don't want to take their livelihood or their traditions or anything like that. We have to do these things in a process. We can't just do it overnight. It's a patience thing. It's a timing thing. And it's one of those things that we got to all have to give each other grace on and understanding. I may say that about coal, but I didn't grow up in the coal world. Sure. I didn't grow up in the coal industry. So I have to have a little more understanding of, hey, there's a whole livelihood. There's thousands of families involved in that industry. I can't just blazily say, let's get rid of coal. Look, there's a lot of people there that we got to be thinking about, and I should be caring about them even if myself is not in that industry. It's what makes this world good. It's what makes us be able to go forward with these things.
Well, you know, you can't get ahead of yourself, and technology right now is a limiting factor. I have a number of friends who own, you know, pretty high-end Teslas. Mm-hmm. And one of them told me the other day, I used to drive back and forth to Florida in basically a day and a half, and they said it took me 4 days. There were not, you know, superchargers available. Yeah. They said, by the way, my vehicle that's supposed to go 350 or 400 miles, when it's 20 degrees, it actually goes 200 miles. Mm. And when it gets to 80%, it says, look for a charging station now. And then when you pull up, it's not as if you pull up to the gas station, you know, put the nozzle in and fill your car up in 3 seconds. You're going to sit there even at a supercharger for a fair amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're going to fully charge it, you're going to sit there for a long time, or you're going to sit overnight. So you're right. I mean, I think sometimes we get way too far out over our skis. You know, that's one of those.
Yeah, that cartoon character running, and then all of a sudden they look down and they're standing. And yeah, these are things. I don't think either one of us are trying to say these aren't things that are good or bad. They're just something that we got to.
It's a reality,
right?
And I don't have the solution. And if I did, probably wouldn't be sitting here with you. talking.
Again, we're speaking with Lance Plumo, Wood County Board Chairman, and of course, thanks to Taylor and our friends at Wisconsin Rep Community Media being here. I noticed that the Wood County Planning and Zoning is looking for a Wood County resident to serve on the Board of Adjustment. I wanted to bring this up because we always like to encourage people to be a part of the board, to be in the game. Nobody can make much happen if you're just sitting there on your couch complaining all day. Get in the game, get involved. What does this entail, Lance? And let's kind of just broaden that a little bit of what it is to be on the board and the importance of that.
Well, the Board of Adjustment is a small group that deals with that, and you have to be a rural resident. I'm making general statements here, unincorporated areas, outside the cities. We don't handle a lot of appeals, but if they've gone through the process and there's a disagreement as to what could be permitted, it ends up before that board. And so there are citizen members on that. I don't think we've had a hearing before that board probably in a couple of years now. Mm. I think the last one we did was probably a commercial venture where they wanted to expand into what would generally be considered floodplain. Mm-hmm. So to your point, though, I think, you know, citizen involvement is so important. And you've heard me say over and over on this show, I mean, we have, again, round number, 75,000 people in this county. Mm-hmm. We've got 19 members of our county board. There's a lot of ideas out there from those 75,000 people that were not ever thought about by the 19 board members we have. And, you know, I often say in meetings, and I end up giving a lot of presentations around the state. My favorite question oftentimes, or one of my favorites, is the question I can't answer. And I'm not afraid to say, let me check, I'll get back to you. Deal in facts. It amazes me when somebody just keeps repeating something. I said, did you verify that? And they go, well, of course not. And then even maybe more so, the person that asked me the question I can't answer is the person that asked me the question I didn't even think about asking, which often, you know, evolves into something really important. Mm. At the Counties Association, we basically have a board. And at one end it says, what would we never do? or what shouldn't we ever do? Mm-hmm. And the other side says what we must do. And I can't tell you how often those lines cross, they blur, and what we would never do ends up is what we have to do, and vice versa. And, you know, one of the things we're dealing with right now on a more global perspective from a state level, property taxes, which fund local government, mm-hmm. funds the counties, municipalities. You know, we don't have an income tax. Mm-hmm. We do have a 0.5% sales tax, mm-hmm. although some countries have a 24% sales tax,
right.
And some states have a 10% sales tax. But property tax is the most regressive tax you can have. I mean, you saved up. You bought your house. We're taxing you based on the value of your property. As you, you know, move from an income earner to somebody who moves into retirement and stuff, I mean, you're getting hammered. Property mm-hmm. taxes continue to go up. And it's really an unsustainable model. So one of the things we're looking at, and we're looking at with the legislature, we work with the Towns Association, the League of Municipalities, as well as the County Association, is how can we come up with a better system? Mm-hmm. And the answer is probably a consumption tax or a combination of. And a consumption tax is a sales tax. Right. You know, you always hear people, and I always want a definition. They always say, pay your fair share. Well, I'd like to know what my fair share is. And they always say, I always laugh at this one too, tax the rich. I'm going, would somebody define what that is for me? Because there's a big difference between somebody who has $1 million and might have mm-hmm. saved enough money to get by for the rest of life and somebody who has $1 billion.
I always tell people the example. You think Oprah has a lot of money. Oprah, if she woke up with Steve Jobs' money, I mean, if Steve Jobs woke up with Oprah's bank account, he'd jump out a window.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
there's a huge difference in rich and filthy rich.
So when we go to a consumption tax, a sales tax, for instance, you in effect are taxing the person who consumes more, the person who likely has more income. And it's a much more fair tax. It's also something that moves with inflation, mm-hmm. You know, and it can be handled that way. So, you know, we're looking at this. I can tell you in meeting with leadership at the state level and then with these other associations, we know property tax is not a sustainable long-term model, especially as you look at the demographics and the change in population in Wisconsin. You know, if you still have a county up, especially that northern tier, you know, mm-hmm. Forest, Florence, some of those, where you're seeing a greater out-migration than you are here, mm. Well, then what happens to, you know, you have to, in effect, increase right. property taxes.
Yeah.
So it's one of those problems that's never ending. I don't have a single solution. It's the same thing with highway funding. I don't mm-hmm. think there's a single way you fund it. You know, there's a gas tax, but as you move to electric vehicles, mm-hmm. there's wear and tear on the roads whether you're buying gas or not. You got to figure that out. Open road tolling is something that probably comes into play in that Milwaukee-Chicago, Milwaukee-Madison, mm-hmm. Madison back to Illinois corridor.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's looked at.
These are well, and I always appreciate when anybody, especially somebody in your position, Lance, can say something like that. Like, I don't have the answers. I think we need more of that in society, but we get the answers by people being involved. And that's where I come back to being a part of things on the board. Any chance you get to be a part of things in your communities, whether you're in our listenership, our zip code or not, encourage you to do that. It's how we find about the great ideas. It's how we get the great solutions to these things. No one person usually has it. It takes a group of people from different walks of life to be able to make these things happen.
Yeah, you know, whether it's, you know, workforce development boards, regional planning boards, library boards. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could go on and on. And I do have people that call me from time to time and say, I would really like to be involved somewhere. Do you think you can find a place that I can serve? And typically what happens is you get noticed somewhere like that. And before you know it, you're on 10 boards and you don't have enough time to do anything else you want to do. But really, I mean, you know, reach out to those representatives at the local level. Ask them within your town, your village, you know, your city, you know, where can I help? And I think if everybody was forced to serve somewhere, they'd realize, as we were just talking, there's not a single solution.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily good. It's not necessarily bad. It's usually someplace in the middle.
Yeah.
And how do we craft reasonable solutions to problems that face us today? And too often, in search of that perfect solution, we throw away some really good ones. And I would say, mm-hmm. let's adopt the good one. Let's work towards perfect. Because I tell people every day, we are not doing brain surgery.
Mm-hmm.
We are not a cardiothoracic surgeon. If we make a mistake today, typically, politically, we can fix it tomorrow if we aren't if we don't have our head stuck so far in the sand that we're not willing to look at other solutions.
Always appreciate the time, Lance. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, I appreciate it. It goes by so fast.
And it really does.
I look forward to next month.
I'm like, oh, it's time's up. Thanks again, Lance. Appreciate
it. Thanks, James. Appreciate it.
Big thank you to our friends at Taylor.
Absolutely.
I wanted to see how everybody's doing first before we get to business. Callie, how you been?
Good. I had to get the kids kind of bundled up this morning before school with hats and gloves already, so that was a little bit of a shock. But
I can only imagine so many kids walked out the door and looked behind them and like, do I really got to do this? Do I really?
It's already starting.
Really? It's already? Katie, how have you been?
Very good. Thank you.
Good to hear. Very good to hear. Let's get right into things because I wanted to talk about all the great stuff that's going on over at the ODC and then get into a really important subject matter. And if you guys don't mind, it doesn't seem one of you wants to go first. It doesn't matter who. I would like to be able to kick off actually with Katie and kind of wrap things up with milkweed and that.
Great.
If that's all right with both of you.
Sounds good.
Sure.
Okay. Because Katie is joining us to share information on mental health services. September is Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month. It's a subject matter that I know can be uncomfortable for people, but that is also kind of how we got into trouble with this subject, is not being able to talk about it with a raised voice. So talking about this subject, we have no idea, just in this simple conversation, who we could be impacting and helping. And I appreciate everybody being along for the ride when it comes to that. And I really appreciate you, Katie, joining us and really, you know, heading this off for us.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Katie, where would you like to begin with it? With this subject matter?
Well, I think, you know, just in general, talking about suicide awareness, and if we look at, you know, in Wisconsin, the importance of suicide awareness in our communities, I think one of the things that, looking at September as Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month, talking about the basic things that we can do as individuals to sort of acknowledge the issue that is suicide, you know. We can be supportive of each other just by listening and having some compassion around the issue, knowing that everybody has struggles and being willing to talk to others about what's going on in their lives and their situations, helping to reduce the stigma around issues of mental health, issues around suicide, being open to the conversations about, you know, people who might be willing to talk to us about, you know, they're feeling suicidal or they're having issues with mental health concerns, and helping get them connected to places that can help them get the services they need to help them talk about things before we get, you know, to prevent the suicide, to prevent those types of things. There are lots of resources available. And I think those kinds of things are the things that we want to highlight. The resources that are out there for folks.
I know that this is one of those subjects by this point in 2022, it's almost a 6 degrees of separation. Everybody knows somebody who has dealt with this or had to deal with this or have know somebody at one point or another. It's affected us. It's impacted your life on a personal level. It's hit you. And whether it's a good or bad thing, what have you, unfortunately, that is what it usually takes for people to get engaged and involved. It has to touch their lives. They don't care as much about cancer, but then a loved one gets cancer and all of a sudden they care. It's just human nature. I'm not pointing fingers about that. I'm just saying that it's unfortunate that it's where we are with this subject, because whether it is on a local level or a personal level, it affects. We just saw this a little bit ago with the wonderful morning news anchor for Channel 9, Nina Pelocchi, who just a joy. I got the chance to talk and work with her a little bit during COVID, and couldn't have been nicer and sweeter. Also seemed like one of the most genuinely like happy people I've ever met. Like, she genuinely, and I only had a couple of little interactions with her and everything, but she seemed very happy and stuff. I actually kind of could have used a little of her happiness, to be honest with you, especially at that time. Could not, if you pressed me on it the day before that news broke, I would have said she's a very well-adjusted, perfectly happy human being. And that's not the case, unfortunately, because we talk about this a lot with suicide. If I have a broken arm, I've got a cast on it, and everybody's first instinct is to sign it, ask me what happened, how are you, these kind of things. If the broken arm is in my brain and you can't see it, it is so much harder to dissect, whether you are a friend of that person, a stranger, or you are that person yourself. Sometimes we're so close to the subject matter, it's hard to know that we're sad. It's hard to know that we're dealing with something. So that's another issue with suicide prevention, is sometimes the people that are struggling and dealing with this mental health issue don't even understand what they're dealing with. So the more we can talk about it, the more we can get the information out there that there are resources. We can't do it enough. And Katie, I appreciate you being here to be able to kind of help us with that. So when we talk about resources that are available with the ODC, what are those?
So with ODC, in our mental health services, we have a community mental health program. They work with folks who, in the community, they work with several counties providing services to folks in the community, sort of like individual skill development, those types of things, through different programs like comprehensive community services. They help people with mental health diagnoses sort of adapt to living in the community, help them with those skills. From young adults or teenagers and to kids all the way up, like whole lifespan, sort of. We also have recently opened a mental health clinic, an outpatient mental health clinic, where we will be doing outpatient therapy. So that's a little bit different in that we will see people in a different capacity. Mm-hmm. Also, through that clinic, we are going to be partnering with several local school districts to be providing therapy in the schools. So we will be located in several schools to try to reduce the barrier of parents being able to get kids to the therapy appointment, right? Mm-hmm. So being on site in the school during the day to try to provide that service right there, work as a part of the school team and provide those services. So the hope with those types of services are that we're playing a role in prevention, that we're identifying some of the issues that people are facing prior to them becoming so overwhelming to an individual that they feel like they don't have other choices.
And Katie, I have to say, I've done a number of these conversations, and I've done a bit of homework on this subject matter, and I wanted to be able to compare what the ODC does compared to other people or these things. And it's, again, one of those things where the ODC, I feel like, has an insight that not everybody has. And there's so many little things about this that you guys are offering and doing that are unique, and I really think can make a huge impact on people's lives because of that insightfulness that you guys have over there. So it is just a tip of the hat for that, and a thank you for that, because I literally have no idea how many lives we're impacting and helping just from having that bit more of insight, having that little more that the ODC has had a history of paying attention to their clients, figuring, working. The ODC does this wonderful thing of this is our group of things we do. You guys adapt to us. No, the ODC adapts to them, adapts to their community, adapts to what the needs are in our community. They've been doing it since those doors open. And this is another example of that.
I would agree with you. I would agree that the idea of opening these mental health services and offering them to the community is to sort of fill the gaps that haven't been filled by other services in the community, to try to reach the folks that maybe aren't served by other services in the community and try to increase the access of services to the folks who aren't receiving services currently. So I appreciate you saying that, and I think that is our goal as a mental health team, to try to reach as many people as we can and get folks hooked up with services.
And I don't want to come across in saying this as if you guys are experts in the field, because I don't know if you can really be an expert in a field like this. But I do, again, come back to the insight part of, well, you're a little more in tune with working with people on a daily basis that you can't always have just a straight up conversation with. You have to work with. You have to read people a little bit better sometimes and read body language in these things. And again, there is a correlation there, I think, with that and being able to see things in our fellow community members, fellow citizens, fellow friends, families, and all this of, you know, so-and-so was doing, you know, great here and everything, but something seems different with them, you know, and lead, where does that lead? And maybe it's just a bad day. Maybe it is something a little more serious, but having that ability to read people a little better, I think does actually add to this, to you guys doing these things and having the mental health facility and stuff.
Right. I would agree. And I think there are therapy resources and mental health resources throughout the community that do similar things and are wonderful. And we're trying to, you know, partner with and fill those gaps that aren't being filled. And I think that's what's important. All of us kind of working together to really do what's best for the area to make sure residents of Wood County and this area are getting the services that they need and have those available to them.
Well said. And not all of us can be as awesome as Katie or Callie here or the group at the ODC and the great staff they have over there. But every single one of us can take action in this, can do something in this. And all you've got to do is be kind to each other. That's it. That's the end of list. You don't have to be a superhero. Exactly. You don't have to have some magic bullet that solves the whole world's this whole issue. All you got to do is when you're going across friends, family, strangers, give a little grace. Just give a little grace. Having that little bit of grace that you give to each other and others give to you, you never know how much that, how far that can go, how much that can make an impact.
Right. One more thing I will add is this: the suicide line in Wisconsin is 988. You can call that from any phone and you will be connected to crisis workers who can connect you to local resources. You can also text that number to speak to someone who is trained, and it'll connect you. They'll connect you, they'll speak with you and connect you to local resources. So that's a really important resource in our area and all across the state for people who are in crisis and experiencing, if you're experiencing suicidal thoughts, 988, or if you know someone who is, you can give them that number. They can call or text at any time, and someone will be available to speak with them.
Appreciate that, Katie, and appreciate the work you and the team are doing on this subject. Thank you so much, and keep up the great work. If people have follow-up questions, or want to know more about these things that are being offered at the ODC, how can they reach you?
They can give us a call in our mental health clinic. Can I just give that number?
Sure, please.
That is 715-818-6443.
Katie, thank you again so much for the time and taking on this subject matter with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
We are going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, and Callie and I will get into all the cool, fun things that are going on in Milkweed Market and a bunch of other great stuff going on at the ODC. We got to get to work here. We got a lot to talk about, Callie.
Exactly.
We'll get to that when we come back on Morning Magazine here at WFHR.
This is your life.
I just wanted to start by thanking the community and the listeners who have attended our past couple of events, our four-year anniversary sale. And then our fall open house was last week, and we just had an incredible turnout, so much support. The mums that we sold from Kids Growing Flowers for Kids sold out every time.
Right,
we kept getting more, and they kept selling. And then all of the decor and items in the store, too, went over really well, all the creations. So I wanted to start out with a thank you, but then get into what's coming next. Tomorrow, we have a Paint with Purpose class. It has almost been a year since we've been doing this program called Paint with Purpose, which was really just conceptualized to be an outlet for any person who wants to get creative, do some arts and crafts or projects. We've been partnering with local churches where we've been hosting those, so it's available to community members and the individuals we support paint too. But tomorrow we're hosting one at Milkweed Market, and it's at 12:30. And it's pumpkin painting. So we have wood cutouts of pumpkins so everyone can get, you know, today feels like fall. And so we welcome, like I said, the individuals who we support are there painting, but also any community members who want to come socialize. The store is so warm and welcoming right now. We have a coffee bar. We have bakery and sweets. And so all experience levels are welcome. All supplies are included. It's free. All you have to do is RSVP, call the store, which is open today from 10 to 5. And that number is 715-818-6466. So call Tony. She's working there today, or call even tomorrow morning. And they'll let you know if they can get a space for you. And please come paint a pumpkin and have fun.
Callie, I apologize. I heard nothing after coffee bar. that's a cool idea. And it is a fun thing. I've talked to a couple of people who have attended these and been a part of them. And one of them is somebody who likes to paint all the time. Another person, her partner, never does and stuff. And still, and both of them enjoyed themselves equally. It's one of those kind of events where it's yes, the painting is a part of it and everything. And it's fun to paint pumpkins and stuff. But it's such a social chance, an opportunity for that.
Yes, it really allows the individuals who we support at ODC a chance to connect with community and learn new skills and practice social skills and all the things. So they really look forward to it. And I know our regulars, I should say, come and, you know, keep coming back. But we'd love to get more people involved. I know it's over the lunch hour, so sometimes that works, sometimes that doesn't, but we just really encourage, and it's always the last Thursday of the month, and we're going to be hosting them in Milkweed Market now. We have a great DIY kind of like makers space.
Yeah, it's really nice.
So it's just a really comforting environment to be in, and Tony, she is an expert painter. I mean, she can teach you the techniques if you are uncomfortable with it, and if you want to just fly solo and do it yourself, that's cool too. So so many options, and we just really, really encourage people to stop by and check it out.
You know, knowing really about the ODC and their mission, literally since I moved to this state, I understood what the work that they do over there. And I'm pretty familiar with a lot of the staff and people. And even for me, sometimes I'm kind of taken back by things you guys do over there and just like, whoa, like, wow. And this is, well, this may not seem like one of those things, but all the events that go on in Milkweed Market, we've talked about this ad nauseum, you know, giving these clients, these people an opportunity to get into the workforce, to have a life of their own, and some individuality, some independence in that. But another thing that I don't think about all the time, and I was just brought back to being a kid and Pam coming over to my Nana Papa's house and working with my Aunt Pat, her getting back into social conversations, her getting some confidence in those social conversations and having some other interactions with people, just having that alone is an integral part of the mission of ODC. Is to be able to give opportunities for those clients to be able to just talk with people, interact with people, building up their confidence so that they feel more comfortable doing those things on their own.
Correct. Absolutely. You nailed it. Yeah, our mission is to empower people with disabilities to achieve their work and life goals. So anything that we can do, if Milkweed Market can be that space that people come and gather, and you don't even really, like you said, think about it, that you're practicing it or doing it, but people are coming in and out of the store, so you're forced to talk, greet, help, learn, and it's just a really great, it has created that space, which was an intention, but it's even brought more of that.
Well, I will say, especially because you guys are too humble to do it, when you're really good at your job, these things happen. Like they did, they just organically develop. And the ODC, the staff there, the people over there, that's how good they are. These things develop and you don't even plan on it sometimes. But continuing to not only build the strength and the confidence and empowering these students, these people, the clients and everything, but also the community. because they work in the community. They're a part of the community just as much as any of the rest of us. And they impact our community just like the rest of us. This is a positive impact. There is no side effect to this. This is a good thing. And you can be a part of it, too. You can actually be a part of these things. Certainly going to the events like Callie was talking about there. But just by going to Milkweed Market alone, going there, purchasing items, promoting Milkweed Market when you're talking to friends and family and you're talking to that one person that, I don't know what to get my mom for Christmas, or I don't know what to get my significant other for their birthday or something. Go to Milkweed Market. You're gonna have too many options. The tough decision is what do I go with here? Because there are so many unique and wonderful things there. And just by doing that, you are supporting local. You are supporting the ODC and helping them continue to do their great work.
Absolutely. Yep. And another local event that we have. So tomorrow's Paint with Purpose. Next week, would be Friday, October 7th and Saturday, October 8th. We're participating in the Vintage Shop Hop. So that's, we're open extended hours those 2 days, that Friday, Saturday, 10 to 5. And Vintage Shop Hop is actually an event that almost 400 different little shops and boutiques between Wisconsin and Illinois participate in.
Wow.
And it's just an event that grabs your attention and really, like, gets you in the mindset to grab some friends, hit the road, go check out some places that maybe you've never heard of, these little hidden gems like we like to consider our store, and support, like you just said, those small businesses in the local communities that you live in. So again, that's Friday, October 7th and Saturday, October 8th. If you follow Milkweed Market on Facebook, the event's posted so you can read more about the details of the kinds of things we'll have going on. But please, just like you said, we're all in this together as a community, and of course we're trying to be the leader in being all inclusive and supporting local. So we really, really appreciate it when listeners.
Did you guys do this last year? This event?
We did.
I thought so. I heard really good things.
There's a spring Vintage Shop Hop and there's a fall Vintage Shop Hop, and we've participated for a couple years now in both the spring and the fall.
I thought so, because I know a number of people that go to Milkweed on a consistent basis, and yeah, they've talked very highly about this and really enjoyed the event. having it twice a year, you kind of get to mix it up a little bit too, and this time of year it's so much like fun. I know the temperatures are going down and everything. We noticed that we bark about it a little bit, but really we're excited about fall. It's okay. Admit it, everybody. We're excited. And one of the things that we get excited about are all these like little integral trinkets and different things that are a part of it, whether it's painting a pumpkin or it is checking out some of the more original, unique items they have over there in Milkweed Market. I know I look forward to that every year. I mean, it's something that I know I'm not alone on either, because I've talked to plenty of people that are as well.
Yeah.
And it comes back to this again, you know, supporting local, buying local. You do these things, and not only do you get these great, unique products that you can't just find at any old store, but you're putting money right back into your community.
Right.
You're putting it right back in and helping make your community stronger at the same time. And that's a win-win if there ever was one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The Vintage Shop Hop is fun because it does bring people not even from the community, but checking out new areas and spending their dollars. But we do really rely on our locals to support us, and they do. They have not let us down since we opened 4 years ago. And again, the creations that we have there are unlike anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of custom work, so it's still wedding season. Christmas is coming up gifts.
Right. Yeah.
And if you're really struggling, just stop in and see some of the, we have some of the samples of custom. If you're a local business and you need a sign made for either exterior or interior, we've done so many local business signs. We just really try to accommodate everyone we can in the best way we can. And again, just appreciate the community support along the way.
The creativity of these items should not be taken lightly. It's so cool. And the craftsmanship I wanted to touch. I don't get a chance to do that very often. I have a couple of things that I bought the literally the first day Milkweed opened. They're still just in perfect shape. I've got one of them right over here. I mean, there's these products are sturdy. They are standard. They stand the test of time too. That is another thing that I think everybody appreciates nowadays when you're purchasing something. And again, I think Callie hit another great moment there where you have that, oh, what do I get? I don't know what to buy or anything. You go to Milkweed Market, you're going to just come across so many ideas. I think that's a really nice thing to touch on again, because that's a lot of us in those situations. What do I get my mom? I've gotten her every Coca-Cola thing there is under the sun. I got to do something new or unique. Go to Milkweed. It'll have it. I guarantee it.
For sure. Come in and we'll help you out.
And you don't even have to take our word for it, everybody. Go there, check it out yourself, and you'll see exactly what we are talking about. Katie, Callie, I cannot thank enough you guys for the time. If people have other questions or want to know a little bit more about some of the stuff we've talked about, is there a way to reach you?
Yes. So call the store, 715-818-6466, or follow Milkweed Market, follow ODC, follow Ink Splash, which we'll talk more about maybe next segment. Yeah. Follow those pages on Facebook. And if you can't shop, like you said earlier, a share, a like of a post really, really can go a long way in advertising and helping. So online or call or stop in.
Yeah. Again, both of you, thank you so much for the time. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.
We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown.